Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here, whether you're a regular attender, a guest, member of the family, here in person, watching on our online streaming service, on our catch-up service. We're so glad to have all of you join us for worship this morning. Just a few intimations at the start of our time today. First of all, a reminder for all of our elders that the next meeting of our Kirk session will be held on Thursday, the 10th of November, 7:30 p.m. here in the church. This is a change. It was originally scheduled for Tuesday, and I have to apologize. I had a conflict of schedule for the change, so I apologize to all elders for the change in schedule to Thursday for Kirk session. I've been asked to draw attention to an important discipleship initiative, acronymed ACORN. This is coming from our outreach group, and the purpose of this ACORN initiative is helping us as Christians to find ways to reach out to others with God's love on a daily basis. And in the October and the November newsletter, Dr. David Bale, who is the convener of our outreach group, kindly wrote a couple articles about ACORN. And while I was away in America a couple months ago, he also mentioned it in a sermon as well. So if you look back to the October, November newsletters, or go back to our on-demand catalog of sermons and rewatch what valuable things David had to say as well to learn more about this initiative, it is well worth your time, and I commend it to your attention. A reminder that next Sunday, as we can guess, is Remembrance Sunday here in Kemeny Church. Worship will start at 9:30 in the morning. What time? Oh, that's so good to hear. We'll start here in the Kirk, and we'll have the honor of being joined by Claire Thorogood, who's Aberdeenshire Deputy Lieutenant, and she will affix the wreath here in the Kirk, and she will also join us for the service of remembrance at the Village Memorial afterwards. So 9:30 here in the Kirk, and then we'll follow on from there for the memorial service, or the memorial service in the Village for 11 o'clock. And also, after worship on Remembrance Sunday, after worship next week, there will be a retiring offering for Poppy Scotland, and your generosity is warmly appreciated. Those are all of our intimations. Let us take a few moments of silence now to prepare our minds and our hearts for worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song together, From the Sun's Rising.
Creation shall sing and all his word.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are our Creator. You have fashioned each of us in your image. You have made us to yearn for you, to seek you, and to love you with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our strength. In this time of worship, Lord, may we come before you with open and inquiring hearts, eager to learn, eager to grow, confident that you will never reject us or turn away from us. And as we worship you, teach us in every way the wisdom of waiting for you, of trusting you with our whole selves. Loving God, we thank you that you are greater than our greatest fear, that you are the giver of life, and you never, ever let us go, even in death. We praise you for the miracle and the promise of resurrection life in your kingdom, which now we only glimpse in part, but one day we will see in full. God of life and all wisdom, forgive us when we avoid questions and situations that push us into growth. Forgive us when we settle for answers and lives that are comfortable and not challenging. Forgive us when we do not trust you with our whole selves, but instead allow fear to fester and uncertainty to undermine faith. Forgive us, we pray, when we fall short of your glory. Bless us. Restore us, we pray, with confidence and courage, and the ability to live with your mystery as we follow in the steps of Jesus, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. It's good to have our children Sunday school back. Our fantastic families is back in session after the October break, of course. And all children are welcome to go over to the church center after we sing our children's song for a time of learning and Christian discipleship together. And so we sing together now our next song of praise. And I guarantee you, this one will be stuck in your head the rest of the day. This...
Let it shine.
in the church for the baptism, shall we? And then we go off to children's church after that. It's time. George, Susan. Lewis and Helen, you would come forward as well. Elsie, of course. Got to be a part of it. She's the big sister. Right? It seems just like yesterday we were here baptizing Elsie. Goodness. Hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, says Jesus, even to the end of the age. Hear also these words from Scripture, that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so now, obeying the words of our Lord Jesus, we recognize that in baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to him. Through Jesus Christ, God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Jesus in his own saving death and resurrection. And by water and by the Holy Spirit, we are joined together with the church universal, the church in every time and in every place, the true body of Christ. So in this time and in this place, as we prepare to celebrate a baptism today, let each of us remember with joy our own baptism into unity with each other and with Jesus Christ. So on this day, and on behalf of the Kirk session of this church, I now ask George and Susan to respond to the following questions. First question, George and Susan, do you confess your faith in the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, we do. With your confession of faith, do you desire that your son be baptized today? If so, please say, we do. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to continue to live out the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your son? If so, please say, we do. Fourth question, for the godparents, Lewis and Helen, do you promise through the example of your lives to encourage George and Susan to help them observe and keep the promises they have made this morning? If so, please say, we do. Will the congregation please be upstanding? Do you all, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, his body here on earth, promise to guide and nurture George and Susan, Elsie and George, by word and deed, with love and prayer, encourage them all to know and to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Congregation, please be seated. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for by your Spirit you nourish and sustain all living things. By the gift of water, in the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. And by the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to life eternal. And so we thank you, O God, for these waters of baptism, for in and through them we are buried with Christ in his death. From them we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through them we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is the full Christian name of your son?
George Charles Andrew.
Make sure to keep it a little bit of warm as well. George Charles Andrew, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you now and forevermore. Amen. And we will now prepare to sing the baptismal song. We'll ask Hazel to come forward. This is the fun part, to parade him around the church, to meet this new family of faith together. And so, as a sign of our unity in Christ, we now sing together, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Grandma doesn't want to give him back. Thanks, I appreciate that. It's kind of fitting we sang "This Little Light of Mine" just a few moments ago, yeah? This light represents the light of Jesus Christ, the new life offered to us in him. George, Susan, we rejoice with you in George's baptism. May the Lord bless you and keep your family in the time that is to come. So we present this candle, the sign of George's baptism today. And you remember the rule, George, you have to keep it lit to the end of the service, otherwise we have to do this again. We don't. And a certificate of George's baptism today as well. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We continue now in worship, if the band is ready, with singing our next song of praise, "O Let the Son of God Enfold You." And after this song, our children may be excused for Sunday school at the church center.
Son of God, enfold you with his Spirit. This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Amen. And thanks be to God for this, his word.
We continue in worship now with singing our next song of praise, "Holy Spirit, Come."
This is a song that we have sung in the past often. So we're going to sing the first verse for you before you come to your feet and join with us singing from the start all the way through three verses.
us pray. Loving God, God of all life, all compassion, all healing, all hope, as we take time now to reflect on your word to us this morning, these words from Mark's gospel, we pray, Lord, that you will quiet our minds and our hearts so that we may truly hear and understand the still small voice of your Spirit speaking into each of us. And may the words of my mouth, and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. Today is an extra special day in worship here in Kemnay Church. In our Presbyterian Reformed tradition, we affirm and we celebrate two sacraments. We just had one, baptism, and we're about to have the other, communion, or the Lord's Supper. We have just baptized George Charles Andrew, and in a few minutes we will celebrate our togetherness as God's people by partaking of the bread and the cup together as one body of Christ. And I think the best definition of sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace. A visible sign of an invisible grace. Both of our sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they remind us of God's love, God's presence in our lives, and they both invite us to follow in what one friend of mine often calls the Jesus way. I quite like that, the Jesus way. And today we're focusing on the sacrament of baptism especially. All four Gospels in the New Testament have important things to teach us about baptism. We know from historical study that the church did not invent baptism. Instead, it was already a meaningful part of Jewish life and worship well before the church ever came into being. And right before, the start of our passage, we read the following in Mark's Gospel. In verses 4 through 8, it says, "So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. He said, 'After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water,' John said, 'but the one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" So this means that when John the Baptist, a remarkable figure in his own right, when he appeared in the wilderness, clothed as he was, eating what he ate, proclaiming these realities of judgment, repentance, and this need for baptism, he was already offering something very familiar to those who heard and believed him. And then at the start of our reading today, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, we are told. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that no other recipient of John's baptism had this particular sort of experience of heaven being torn open, the Holy Spirit descending down like a dove. This seems to be specific to Jesus' baptism. So when Jesus was baptized, something new happened. But what was new? This was the beginning of Christian baptism. Through the baptism of God's sinless and beloved Son, all Christian believers are invited to participate in Jesus' own ministry and are grafted into Christ's body, which is the church. Anybody actually know what the word Christian means? It's a word we hear all the time, right? But it literally means little anointed one. Or even more literally, little Christ. A Christian is called to be a little Christ. In other words, baptism is the beginning of the Christian life, of becoming more and more like Jesus, of living and walking in the Jesus way. To be sure, the Bible also teaches us that God knows us before we are even born. Jeremiah 1:5. Loves us before we can even begin to love God in return. 1 John 4:19. But Christian baptism is the formal start of living into the Christian life. Responding to God's amazing grace, we first enter the Jesus way through the waters of baptism. In and through Jesus Christ, these waters confirm that George Charles Andrew is God's beloved child. It affirms this great reality. A co-heir with Jesus, with whom God is well pleased. But back to Mark's gospel. By design, Mark's gospel does not waste time. In fact, one of the most common words in Mark, we read through this gospel, is the word we translate as immediately. Immediately this happened. Immediately this happened. We read this gospel at a gallop. We should be filled with a true sense of urgency when we read Mark's words. And this urgency is front and center in today's passage when it says, at once or immediately the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended to him. This gives us a rather dramatic mental image. After his baptism, there was no time to bask in glory, no time to rejoice. It says immediately after Jesus was baptized, immediately after he heard, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," the text tells us that the Holy Spirit sent him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now, much to my great annoyance, most English versions of the Bible are far too soft in their translation here. They're far too soft. To my knowledge, the Message, which is a rendering of the Bible in modern English, it does the best job of capturing the meaning of these verses. The Message puts it this way, after his baptism, at once the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild. Want to be even more rough and tumble? The Spirit chucked him out into the wild. Right? Isn't that a vivid picture? Pushed out into the wild. And in Mark's gospel, the references to wilderness, to Satan, and to Jesus being with the wild animals and beasts. It tells us that after his baptism, Jesus was pushed into direct confrontation with a world aligned against God. And Jesus had to face this head on. And this text and the other gospel texts tell us that Jesus was severely tempted by Satan in every way, bodily, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. And this contest was not a farce. Even the Son of God had to face the reality of our fallen world, of the real possibility of giving in to temptation. And the same can be said about our Christian baptism as well. Baptism marks us as belonging to Jesus Christ. And like our Lord, we too are pushed out into the wild of a very broken, very hurting, and sinful world. Now, Christian baptism, it does not itself save us. It does not protect us from the hurts and trials of human life. Oh, how sometimes I wish that it did. Instead, Christian baptism is meant to remind us that we belong, body, mind, and soul, to the triune God, no matter what comes our way. As a visible sign of God's invisible and amazing grace, Christian baptism affirms the great truth that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. At the end of verse 13 in Mark's gospel, Mark includes a subtle and important point. It tells us when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted, angels attended to him. So even amid his own temptation, his own exhaustion, God the Father did not abandon Jesus. And the same is true for us. No matter what we face, God promises us that we will not face it alone. God does not promise to spare us from trouble, but instead God promises to be profoundly with us in and through what we face, and even using what we face to fashion us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God can use every part of our life to make us more holy, more like Jesus. And as we've heard this morning, baptism is the formal beginning of the Christian life. God already loves us. God already claims us. But baptism is a special sign. We are baptized into our Lord's baptism. And as was the case with Jesus, the Holy Spirit pushes us out as well to face a world very much in need of redemption. And after his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news. For those of us who are baptized into Christ, God calls and equips us to follow the Jesus way in the wilderness. And as we go into the wilderness of the world around us, the message we are called to share is the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, literally, turn around and believe the good news of Jesus. God knew George Charles Andrew before he was even born. Loved him more than we can ever understand. But today, he has started his own baptismal journey. This journey will continue throughout his earthly life, and his baptismal journey will not be completed until his life's end. It is all lifelong. And so we welcome him into this journey of faith. And with his parents, his godparents, his grandparents, and wider family, we promise to make this journey with him. So may God give us all the grace we need to continue our own baptismal journeys as we follow in the Jesus way together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. continue worship now with singing our next song of praise, More Love, More Power. Friends, all are welcome to take part in communion today. There is room at this table for all who desire to love and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Here in Kemene Church, we partake of communion together by first passing out the bread. We hold it until all have been served, and then we take it together. We then pass out the cup. We hold it until all have been served. And we take that together. And this bread and this cup, as we've heard, are visible signs of an invisible grace. Along with baptism, these elements are anchor points for our lives as Christians. Time and again, we gather at this table to remember Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his saving death and resurrection. And the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the greatest sign we have of God's faithfulness to us and to all who believe and trust in his name. So as we gather together for this sacrament, we do pray for a true sense of unity with God, with each other, and with the church throughout the world. May partaking of this sacrament inspire us anew to live out our faith in our world, so that others around us will come to know and trust the goodness and love of God in their lives. So I invite you to join me now in the responsive call to the table. Come to this table not because we must,
but because we may.
Not because we are strong,
but because we are weak.
Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right,
but because we need mercy.
Come, because we love the Lord a little.
We would like to love him more.
Come, because he loves us.
And gave himself for us.
Come and meet the risen Christ.
We are his body.
Loving God, we come before you as your children, as those whom you have called, claimed, and redeemed in Jesus Christ. We confess that in of ourselves we are not worthy to receive you, but at one word from you, you make us whole and have renewed us. as we prepare to take of these elements together, of this bread and this cup, may we be joined in true unity with you, with each other, and with the church throughout all time and all place. And as a sign of our faith in you, we now join our voices together in the words that the Lord Jesus taught us, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution recorded for us by Paul the Apostle, who writes, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again. And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we do declare together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Our sins are great, waiting for us.
take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for us. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. Friends, this cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for promises made and kept, even when we have failed to keep our side of the bargain. Even when it feels the world teeters on the brink of disaster, we know that you will never abandon your people, for you have shown us again and again that you are a faithful God. Hanging in there can be tough, though. We often feel like giving up at those times when life seems too hard or too painful, when those around us suffer. We think of the families and people of Ukraine. We think of the hungry in Africa and the floods in the Far East and all those who are suffering in Britain at the moment with their cost of living. Remind us of the words of prophets that have sustained your people throughout generations and have come true again and again in Christ Jesus. Today, loving God, we pray for all those who are troubled in body, mind, and spirit. May they know your presence and be reassured by your words. We pray for our world, its leaders, its policymakers, and its governments. Help them to make wise decisions based on justice and tolerance. And we think of the world leaders gathered in Egypt to talk about what to do about climate change. Let them make wise decisions. We pray for ourselves that we might see light in dark and difficult places, and that we might be the light when others grope for meaning. And we pray for one another, Lord, those beside, behind, and before us, that we might wait in trust and love together, and that we might go from here to share your promises with all we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. We continue in worship by singing our closing song of praise together. God sent his Son. As believers, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. And as God continues to push us out into a broken and hurting world, may we continue to walk in the Jesus way by responding to the needs we encounter with the love of Jesus Christ and with the unfaltering hope of the gospel. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore.